Looks like we still got quite a few folks coming in. Pretty good group this morning. We're not going to dismiss the younger classes for this morning's report. We have invited Wayne Brewer, who is a missionary. He goes to multiple places, but he is a white male who speaks Spanish. And so that travels if you go to the Mexican or the South American work. I see what you're doing there, Chad. Yeah. But when you're preaching the gospel and you're white and you go into Mexico, they admire that. That's not as common. So like my daughter, all-American white girl, she speaks Spanish too. She gets quite a bit of traction and they appreciate that. So Wayne has been doing Spanish missionary work since, I think he's going to probably talk about that, maybe 2005 time frame. And we've known Wayne a long time. He's been with me. I've been with him in Mexico and have always appreciated his work and his help. So we're glad he's here. He's going to give a report this morning via PowerPoint, and then he will preach the lesson this morning during the worship hour. So we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it right over to Wayne and let him do the rest here. So if you will bow with me, please. Holy God and Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the blessing of life and the privilege to know the truth, to know that the truth, when executed and applied in our lives, sets us free. It's a spiritual freedom that we, again, are so thankful for. Recognize then that we have clarity of thought, clarity, again, of motive, and we can do thy will. We pray that as we are so motivated in our day and age, that we will help others recognize what life is truly all about. Help us be wise then unto salvation. Pray that you'll have mercy upon us. We pray that you'll continue to bless Wayne and his efforts. And we're grateful that you have brought him to us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name, and amen. Brother Wayne.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I do appreciate the invitation from the elders and Brother Brian specifically, because we've known one another for many years. And I do appreciate that this opportunity to be with you and to share some information about what's been going on in Maplevale, Arkansas, where I live. Maplevale is a suburb of Little Rock. And so the work there that we're doing is among the Spanish-speaking people. And then as a result of that, which I did not plan, the work has just exploded and opportunity after opportunity, to here sometimes in Texas, although I don't come here specifically for mission work. But just give a little information this morning about that. And then in the next hour, in the preaching lesson and in worship, we're going to talk about and consider some things from being a mission-minded congregation, and I know that you are. I kind of fell into this work in a sense. Jesus, of course, says go into all the world, but he also said there about the need for the harvest, the need for the gospel to be preached to people, because there are people that want to hear the word of God. And kind of started there at Maplevale. It wasn't really an intention, but I had talked to one of the elders sometime, I don't know, a few months ago, a few months before, about seeing a lot of Spanish speakers in the area of Maplevale in southwest Little Rock, and I said, you ought to consider having an outreach into this area. I said, there's a lot of people. And some time rolled by, and an opportunity presented itself, so he called me one day, and I called him, and we kind of called back and forth and talked, and he said, would you come and be willing to start that and initiate that? And I said, well, I've never done anything like that. I speak some Spanish, but I'm not fluent at that time. But I said, I'll give it a try. And so that was in 2002, and that's what I've been doing, and the work's been growing. God has blessed that work. God's blessed so many opportunities. It's unbelievable. But we need to take the gospel, and that's kind of our theme today. Of course, Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, and he also gave the Great Commission in Mark chapter 16. And the Lord's church has been given the responsibility of taking the gospel. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in the second hour as well. But we have that responsibility as the church of our Lord. He established the church, and that's a great responsibility, so we can't neglect that. Just kind of a little bit about, first of all, the works in Mablevale, Arkansas, which is central Arkansas. It's on the southwest part of Little Rock. If you've ever been in that area, in south Little Rock, southwest part of Little Rock, there's many Hispanic people, thousands living in that area. And now getting, you know, in a lot of other areas. They're kind of new to Arkansas. I know there's not to Texas. Some of you probably are Hispanics and maybe have or Hispanic relatives or, you know, not new to Texas, but certainly to Arkansas, relatively new. So a lot of the people that come there are Spanish speakers, and there's a need to reach out with the gospel, first of all, in Spanish to them. I can't see that real well, so I'm going to turn around here. And these are some of the places that just worked within the last year, 2024. Ciudad Victoria, it's about 200 miles south of Brownsville, Texas, McAllen, Texas. I've been going there since 2005, go every year, plan to go back in March, usually take a group, sometimes Spanish speakers, sometimes just mostly not Spanish speakers, but we do a good work there in that city with the brethren there among five congregations we're going to be working with in March. Last year, Seward, Alaska, yeah. I've been there a couple of times, went to Seward, Alaska. There's a small congregation. We're able to do door knocking and had a Bible school and some gospel meeting there with them. Just real quickly, you know, this is the things that we're able to do last year, Baja California in June. And then Ozona, Texas in June, Costa Rica in July. Hamilton, Montana, took a group out there for basically the same thing in all these places, that is going door knocking, trying to reach contacts, trying to study the Bible with people, and then following up. They can do a lot of the follow-up, also having Bible schools and a gospel meeting during all that time. So very busy, very active, and the whole time it's hardly any downtime. It's mostly just working. And we're meeting with Brother Fernando Mesa, who preaches down at Ozona, and he mentioned last night or yesterday that one of the contacts that we made through door knocking down there last summer was baptized and is now a member of the church there. So that's obviously the goal. We try to help the congregation as much as we can, and then, you know, they have to do a lot of follow-up on that. I can't see. Yeah, in December I was down in Rio Verde, San Luis Potosí. We've been going there for about 10 years, doing the same thing. And last year, the preacher there said, we are going to be appointing elders. And it's going to be in December of 24. And so we want you to come and two other brothers that have gone with me a lot from Arkansas. We want you to be here. And so we were able to go down there. We arrived earlier in the week to do door knocking, do preaching and teaching and all that kind of thing. And then toward the end of the week, they were able to, on Saturday and Sunday, be involved with appointing elders. So that's a wonderful thing for the congregation down there. Now, that has really nothing to do with us or me in any way and the work, just that it's wonderful to see the progress that's made in congregations, even in Mexico. So that was what's taking place in 2024. This is 2025. Some things that already, and of course, Mablevale, Arkansas. I was in Latvia. I left for Latvia on December the 31st, and I was over there for a little more than a week. I've gone there probably 20 times, started going in 1997, I hadn't gone since before the pandemic. It's a country that's you know, it touches Russia. It was part of the old Soviet Union. It's got a history within itself. I know, you know the brethren. Their languages are Russian and Latvian, so that's a whole different kind of work, whole different culture. But because I've been doing it over, going over there so long, I also, you know the brethren, and it's just a joy to be able to go back and be with them. March, I'll be in Mayfield, Kentucky. They want to, it's a Spanish-speaking congregation, they want to try to establish elders in that congregation. I went there 20 years ago when the preacher came from Marshall, Texas. He was a Spanish-speaking preacher, and he was beginning the work there. And now they want to appoint elders, and so invited me back to give some lessons about elderships. Be going, as I said, down in Ciudad Victoria in March. Baja, these are, you know, again, some of the places, Baja California, June, July to Costa Rica, which I've been doing since 2000. and just the other places that you can see there, I think Michigan, and I don't know what else is there. Oh, Torreon, Coahuila, invited to go there. There's a history and a story behind each one of these places. A relationship that I've had, and as I said, it's just, I never even thought that this anything could even become anything like this, and but I mean, you know, God has blessed it in such a way. I feel like I'm able to help other members of the church, non-Spanish speakers, to be able to go and participate. I know so many people in Mexico now. Some of them are bilingual that can come. Some of them are not. Sometimes they go to Costa Rica with us. Some that are bilingual to help translate, if they're women, to translate for ladies' Bible classes, Bible schools, and all those kind of things. So it's just, to me, it's unbelievable. And even here, being here this weekend, you know, last night, Brother Fernando said, well, we're planning on maybe you coming back this summer. In Ozona, I don't know if I can or not, simply because of the schedule and all of that. But I want to, you know, again, thank you for allowing me to share that. And if anybody has an interest, you know, certainly talk with Brian. And we can always, I don't represent anybody other than God. Represent anybody other than what God wants us to do. We're not a part of any organization. It's not like a is some organization within the church. No, we're just individual Christians coming together at times to go to these places. And, you know, that's the work. So, you know, the sending, real briefly, the sending congregations has, I'm sorry, I can't see that one very well, and it's not the fault of that, it's the fault of my own eyesight. The sending congregations are blessed in these areas. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So when the congregation is sending brethren or any kind of support, that congregation in and of itself is blessed. You have fellowship in the gospel. These are scriptures that, you know, talk about these things. It's the good news of opening the door of faith is able to go into some other areas. Whether it's the fact that you support it financially or else, you help someone go, or you go yourself. You know, hearing about the mission accomplished as Paul went back to report to people, and then praying for those going out. So there's blessings of those who are sending. There's blessings of those who are receiving as well. In those congregations, they're receiving the word of God if sound preaching and teachers are going. They're receiving maybe physical assistance because some actually help to go out and to reach people or to teach the word of God. They're having their own faith confirmed whenever, for example, in Costa Rica or Mexico or Latvia or wherever it might be, and they hear someone come and preach the same message that they believe and are hearing and are studying from the Bible, that encourages them. That encourages them to know that they have brothers and sisters in other places around the world that believe and teach exactly the same thing that they do. And then, of course, simply developing fellowship and close friendship. I know so many people in these places and countries and cities that they're just as close to me, and I'm with them as I'm with Brian, because Brother Brian and his family, because I've stayed in their homes. So these are blessings that we can have as Christians when we participate in these kind of things. Real quickly, you know, at Maple Vale, we have worship, and as I said, the work began. So of course we have worship and Bible study and evangelism. We have gospel meetings. We do door knocking, and these are just some photos of, you know, some things and events there and things taking place at Maple Vale. I'm going to kind of go through, I think I've got to what, 10:15, something like that. So, you know, photos here of going out and door knocking, and that's how we reach a lot of people. We go to areas where, specifically in Little Rock area, there are areas where many Spanish speakers are living in close vicinity to one another, so we can go to those, for example, mobile home parks or apartments, and knock doors and ask them, invite them to come to our gospel meetings, invite them to come to our worship services, try to set up a Bible study with them. And, you know, it's just work is all it amounts to, trying to get people out to do the work, and then trying to get people interested. And these are some of the photos of some of the people at Maple Vale, brethren at Maple Vale, and the work that's going on there. So obviously, whenever you preach the gospel, there are hearts that want to hear the gospel. This is Stephanie, and I like this picture because when she came up out of the water there, you can see her smile on her face, and she just was so. I was reaching for a towel at that time. She had just come up out of the water, and you can see in her face she was just so smiling and happy that she had obeyed the gospel. Stephanie, we're just thankful for her. Others as well. Jose there in that photo, he just recently moved back to Mexico, to Guanajuato. He decided that he lived here long enough in the United States. He wanted to go back. He still had a house there. He went back to his house. All this time, he'd had someone taking care of his house, neighbors, and looking after it and keeping it up. And he paid him a little bit of money, and he decided he wanted to go back. Eduardo as well. Just in December, Griselda was baptized. Her husband there is Carlos. He was already a Christian. I'd known him for many years, actually, before they were ever married, and he was a member at Maple Vale. And then they married, and they had a child. And she recently, in December, decided to obey the gospel. So, you know, that's the work at Maple Vale. It's very simple. I would say simple because it's simply preaching the gospel and trying to help people to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that's what it is. That's what we're doing. I'm thankful that today that, and he was probably in one of the pictures of the evangelism, Brother Roberto Moran. He is preaching and teaching today. Carlos, who was in that picture there, he's also can teach, and he can preach as well. So I'm very thankful that, you know, it's come to a point to where if I need to be away or for mission work or something like this, there are these brothers that can teach. And I'll tell you, Roberto, but Roberto is just, he's sound doctrine. I mean, he wants the truth taught, and he's willing to do it. I have all the confidence in the world in them. This is some of the, now I'll kind of switch to some of the mission work, because how I got to Mexico was we had one of our members that moved back to Piedras Negras, Coahuila. And I think it was about 2005. We hadn't been going very long at Maple Vale, maybe 3 years, and it was one of the saddest days of my life when they said, well, we're moving back to Mexico. And I was like, oh, no. But they moved back, and there was a family of four, and they became helpful with the church down there. And so then I was invited to go down there because they were there. And it was just Now, they became a real blessing to the church there in Piedras Negras also. So that's kind of how it started. I was already going to Costa Rica, and I'd gone to Costa Rica 3 times, and I'd always used a translator. I knew some Spanish. I had high school Spanish. And so after the 3rd time of going to Costa Rica, this was before I was going to Mexico, I said, if I'm going to keep going back here, I want to be able to preach in their language, get to know them and all that. So with the little Spanish, high school Spanish that I had, I was giving an effort to it. And at the same time, I said, okay, I'll start with Maplevale. And so it gave me really an opportunity to just learn a lot. I saw an ad in the newspaper where I was, because I hadn't gone to Maplevale, it was still in Sheridan, Arkansas, that the local literacy council needed people to help Spanish speakers learn English. I thought, wow, that'll help me too. I'll help them and they'll help me. And so I was able to be with them, you know, at times and learn Spanish. So that's kind of how that went on why. But I was going to Costa Rica, I think it was in 2005, and a young lady who was a daughter of someone who also goes to Costa Rica with us, she had some Spanish or Hispanic descent, ancestry. She had been adopted but had Hispanic ancestry. She's very interested in learning Spanish. So she went down and stayed with Paco Rada. I don't know if any of you know Brother Paco Rada. He was that time was in Brown, maybe Matamoros, I think at that time, or maybe Reynosa, I'm not sure. And stayed with them like 6 months to help her develop her Spanish. So she came back, and she was going to go to Costa Rica. She says, oh, I met a friend in Mexico. I have a friend in Mexico, and this person would like to go. It was a, you know, I said, oh, well, okay, well, let's talk about this. So she went. Well, as a result of that, she was from Ciudad Victoria. That all kind of grew, and since 2005, been going to Ciudad Victoria in Tamaulipas. So it's kind of, as I said, it's not that I necessarily started to do something and something else. It's been one thing's been built upon another, and that's how God has, I guess, been blessing this. So these are some other places, things, you know, that might where I've had the privilege of being able to go and or take groups as well. Talk about Costa Rica for a minute. Costa Rica is in Central America. It's between Panama and Nicaragua. It's a small country, very, very small country. And so, you know, sometimes they think they've gone great distances and they've only gone, 20 miles, but because of the roads being all curvy and slow process, you know, they feel like they've gone a long way. It's a scenic country. It's mountainous. It's beautiful. Lots of things. When you're in the mountains, such as that van, that's one of the vans we rented. It was somebody took a picture, I think I was driving it, of being up in the mountains, and you're out in it. It could be cool and cloudy, but then you get down in the lower lands, and it's hot and steamy. So Costa Rica depends on what part of the country you're in. The weather can be very different. This was our group. I guess it was last year that in 2024 that went to Costa Rica. A lot of people from the United States, from all these different states that you can see here, people I've known, know, that are willing to go and teach the Bible to children, preach the gospel as well, men. Willie Alvarenga, I don't know if any of you know him. He's in this picture. He's the director of the Spanish school preaching at Round Tail. There are four from Mexico there, 2 from Baja California, 2, 1 from Reynosa, 1 from Ciudad Victoria. We had others at times from Querétaro. It's wonderful to be able to come together from so many different cultures and places, and everybody has one objective, teach and preach the Word of God, and just work together wonderfully. So as I said, you know, if anybody has any interest, please let us know. The routine is the same. We get, you know, we go to the church, we're at the church building, we have a devotional together with the brethren in Costa Rica. It's all bilingual. And then we go out, we do door knocking, we try to develop Bible studies, have Bible studies with families, and that's how the work begins. And then these are some photos. There's a photo up at the top there of a Bible study. Russ Earl was teaching that. He's now in the Kansas City area, Brother Russ. So, you know, that's what it is. Bible schools, usually have too many children for their small church buildings. So now, what they kind of do is they find a place like the school gym or public gymnasium, something where we can get the children and have different classes. My daughter and granddaughters, they're in the pink up there. They've gone several times. All of my children have gone to Costa Rica. Two of our children have gone to Mexico. They're adults now. Ashley, our three children, our youngest, I think he'll be 40 this year. So, I'm thankful to that. Brian's gone with me to Latvia. They've been able to participate in the mission work as they can. And now with their children, I think Ashley's maybe planning to take she wants her son to go, but also maybe her other daughter as well. And it's satisfying. That's nice as well. And all my children pretty well can speak some Spanish. Well, our oldest daughter speaks it really well. Our son speaks it well. Our middle daughter, Ashley, she surprised me when we were in Costa Rica. She, as we were going through the line, the brethren prepare our meals, so we don't have to take time going to restaurants and anything like that. So they prepare our meals. We eat whatever they prepare. And she was going through the line. She was talking to the sisters in Spanish. So, hey, great. And our granddaughter, it was 2 years ago when we went. I'd come back to the church building. We were going to go to the place where all the Bible school are. And I didn't see my granddaughter. And so I asked my daughter, I says, well, where's the little girl? She says, I don't know. Like, you don't know, in Costa Rica? And so she said, well, she probably went with all the kids. That's all the Costa Rican kids. So there wasn't any other Americans there. And that's just how comfortable she felt. And she'd just be with them, even though she doesn't speak fluent Spanish at all. But, you know, developing the friendships and relationships. And that's an important thing too, of being able to go into another country as well. Just, you know, that's just part of it. So normally, you know, 80, maybe 100 children or so will come to the Bible school. So we have opportunities to reach out to a lot of different families as a result of that. Every day that we are there, every day we will have teaching and preaching and a gospel meeting. From the time we get there to the time we leave, we don't have anything free time in between. Only the day that we arrive and the day that we leave. I think that's Brother Willie. Yeah, that's Willie Alvarenga preaching there. I am translating for Brother Saul, who has a secular job, but he's working with the church there in Tilaran, and there he is baptizing a young lady that responded to the gospel there in Tilaran, Costa Rica, last summer. And then in this other photo, that man that's standing there, he's just going to get into the baptistry. He also was baptized. Contacting through door knocking and trying to study with people. Sometimes it's a year later. Doesn't mean that it happens immediately. Most of the time, we'll hear about it after we return. Because, you know, there is one danger, if I'll say that, and that is that sometimes people come because Americans are there. There's always, you know, somebody looking for something. And so sometimes because Americans are there, oh yeah, you know, and there will be people that will invite you into their house, home, to study the Bible because they can tell their neighbors, some Americans were at my house. So, yes, those kind of things happen. But the real joy of it is when there are people that go that do follow up. Did you have a question? Might have a question. All right. I'll get through this. Just some more photos, the activities that we have in Costa Rica. Real quick, I'll try to get through this. I didn't expect this, but the gospel in Cuba. In 2017, I had the opportunity to go there because this preacher in this town in Cuba sent this letter to the Church of Christ, 39th Street Church of Christ in Independence, Missouri. They didn't know what to do with the letter, so they sent it to me. For months, I tried to contact him. We could not read his return address because it had been smudged, as you can kind of see. We couldn't see all the information. Couldn't make out a lot of the things, but did have an email address, so I emailed him. Never heard back. But he wanted tracts, is what he wanted, because the church at 39th Street was providing free tracts, and they had some tracts in Spanish. So it was kind of my responsibility then to contact him, and because they had sent me the letter. Okay, so I'm continuing on. Contacting him. We tried to send him a box of tracts. They didn't arrive. He was disappointed. I tried to explain to him that's out of our control. So maybe after about two years of constant communication with him, because at first I didn't know. Is this just a scam? Is this person just, eh? So one day I just kind of planned this seed. I said, maybe we could come visit you. I didn't really expect that I would be visiting, but I was planting the seed. Oh, that would be great. Okay, well, now it's my job to figure out how to get down there. So with the help of Brother Chuck Northrup and a brother in Mexico, Jaime Hernandez, and I chose them to go with us because Chuck had some experience in Ukraine. He knew some of the Russian language, and Cuba's had a relationship with Russia. And also Brother Jaime has a high-level job in Mexico, and he's very astute at things, and I wanted somebody with me that could easily pick up on things that were going on. You know, there'll be things I don't understand or know because I'm not a part of the culture. Cuba's different than Mexico, but I figured he would be able to do it. Plus, having a high-level job, he would be able to be more respected. So that's how it went. We were there. We went there. We were with several congregations. We were investigated and interviewed by the immigration in one place. We were stopped two or three times on the highway. Things happened, but I won't go into all that. Okay. So, there's lots of work, lots of places, and privilege to go. So what is it like in Cuba? That piece of bread that is being held up is what they receive every day. That's a lot of people, that's all they get. They get a piece of bread from the government. You can also see it, maybe if you read Spanish. I'd walk by this on the wall to go up to the third-story beautiful apartment building, as you can see. In there where the church meets in Cuba, and it says the party is the soul of the revolution. So, yeah, you're going to still deal with that kind of thing when you're in Cuba today. We were in these congregations and in these areas. You'll see some pictures there. Some are in home. Some are out in that's Santiago de Cuba. That was in a home. This is Bamba. That was just out under a tree. A congregation of people are meeting out under a tree. And in this picture here, what are they doing? They were taking notes. Brother Chuck was preaching. I was translating, and they were taking notes. So there's people that, are interested in that. Media Luna, there's another town that we were. That's the town where the immigration, there's a story behind that, and I don't have time to tell all that, but where they came and looked for us and specifically looked for us, and we had to answer a bunch of questions. So what's Cuba like? Well, if you go The tourist side is one side, but the real side out in the country is this. I heard horse hoofs clicking on the pavement all of the time, at day and night, where we were staying and everywhere, places that you go. But baptisms, and they're continuing to have baptisms. They send me photos of continual baptisms that they have, and I know these preachers and I know these men. And so they have needs. So we have tried to help them. You can see some photos of some goods, basic need goods, medical things that we've tried to send to them on occasion down to Cuba. I'm not going to go through Latvia for the time, but I was just there. These are photos from last 2 weeks ago when I was in Latvia and preaching and teaching, and we were going out trying to hand out, information about inviting people to come. So I won't spend a lot of time. So this is, I'll just stop here. So this is the end of, I could have gone more in detail of a lot of other things. I didn't really talk about Mexico. If you're familiar with Mexico, I don't know how many states we've been going to. So, question. Did you have a question first?
I have two quick questions.
Okay.
First one is, do you have a sizable Hispanic population in
Maplewell? We do. There's in the Little Rock area, just a few years ago, there were like 25,000.
Okay.
I would say pouring in continually. A lot of people just coming in. Okay. Did another question?
Second question. You said that you kind of said, well, if I'm going to go down there, I've got to learn the Spanish and do better. Do you have dialect issues?
They have different, from country to country. They will have different accents like we do in English from country to country. Also different words. When I go to Costa Rica, they use different words than they do in Mexico. And so I have to remember that. I can't call a pickup, a camioneta, they call it something else, and lots of different things.
Okay.
So, a soda to them is a restaurant, so in Mexico, a soda is a drink. So, yeah.
So, Wayne becomes a really tremendous liaison for intelligence. I was curious when he was talking about going to Cuba, how he had to similarly do the same thing I've had to call on him to help me with. Involved with Hispanic brethren in the country here, and also dealing with immigration statuses and so forth. Wayne's been tremendous in helping me in the past establish an honest dialogue. Sometimes, it's not fun to talk about the fact that you're in the country illegally. You want to be here. But we're trying to, again, they're still human beings. We still want to preach the gospel to them, but at the same time, we still have to try to follow the laws of the land. I bring that up because we have to be honest and transparent with any kind of mission field. And I thought it was interesting, Wayne, you brought it up, that people will want to say the Americans in town, he was in my house, and Wayne's good at that. So I kind of wanted Wayne to come here, so if anybody's interested, he's always seeking good people to help. Go into places. If some of you are interested in getting involved with some of these works, it opens up doors of opportunity. I would love to encourage you to get to know Wayne. Very resourceful individual to help you.
Any other questions anyone has? I know I went through it fast, and obviously it's impossible to talk about every single, all of the work in Mexico and all the different places. It's something I love to do. I've just, it's just part of it. Yes.
Maybe I can hear you.
When you do door knocking, are there certain countries or places where the response is typically more favorable? So, do you get a lot of hostility?
Better response, some better than others?
Yeah.
After asking?
When you door knock, I'm kind of curious, I guess, just are people usually welcoming? Or do you get a mixture of being welcomed and being not welcomed?
Okay, I think the question is about door knocking and how receptive are people. In Latvia, no. In fact, that is Eastern European culture, former communism, coming out of, the people are totally different. And so, the first time I went there, it was frightening, just the way the culture is. But I understand it now, so it's not as frightening, although when I first go, it's, But, it depends on Mexico and Costa Rica. Peru is one of the most receptive that I've been to. You can just tire yourself out studying the Bible with people almost every door. Because they will even, in the places that I've been, you just say, would you like to say, yes. And but they'll stand there. They won't invite you into their home. So you're standing on this concrete or something and it's hour after hour. So yes, Costa Rica, they're more, okay, go sit down. In Mexico, if you're going to study, with people, it'll be come in and sit down, things of that nature. So it's little differences in culture. Obviously it varies from individual to individual, just like in among us. There's people that are interested and people that are not. Some people, a lot of times in Mexico they'll say, well, I'll be there. They're not going to be there. They say that. They're not going to study with you, but they will say, well, I'll be there. I mean, obviously in Spanish, but they're not going to be there. if they show up, it varies from culture to culture, place to place. You can knock several doors and people reject you, in places like that just as easily as in the United States. But I think it's easier to get Bible studies definitely with people in those countries, Yes, question up here.
I was going to ask you, how in going in those different countries, you learn how to speak the proper Spanish, the proper way to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Does that, by you spending more time, it helps you get better?
Oh, definitely. Just enter my interaction through all of these with people and having to, and all that helps the Spanish, yes. Because, if I don't use it, you start, a little bit drifts away. But, I will say, I did, when I was committed to it, I tested out, I went to the University of Arkansas at Little Rock and I tested out of Spanish. I took a test to see what level I could go to. Pretty high level, so I only had to take a few hours to complete my degree because I already had a degree, So, I do have a degree, bachelor's in Spanish from the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, but I really felt like I learned more, before. I did that because I knew I'd be writing articles. I wanted to have the grammar, and also I knew I'd be preaching and teaching and helping with the grammar. And that was something that was important to me. In Costa Rica sometimes, there's local, everybody in our country, it depends on what part of the country you are, people have their local slangs. And one guy goes with me from Arkansas, and he always talks about over yonder, and he uses all these other real country words. Well, I know what he's saying, but the people that have studied English in Mexico don't know what he's saying. They can't understand him. So, any other questions? I don't want to belabor this at all. I just want, if there's interest, but I thank you, and hope you continue here going forward with the gospel.